Our lesson this morning is entitled, God Needs People Who Put Things Off. Now, we all put things off sometimes. You may have a cavity, but you put off going to the dentist. Maybe you're sick, but you put off going to the doctor. Maybe your tags are due, but you put off going to the courthouse to get them renewed. A lot of things that we put off. And for many different reasons. Sometimes we put things off simply because we dread the experience. Other times we put things off because we're so busy with other things that seem to be more important. But we're not talking about that kind of putting things off. We're not talking about procrastination this morning. Although plenty of us do procrastinate about various different things, we know that putting things off in that respect is not something that God needs us to do. And in fact, the things that God needs us to do, He wants us to do immediately and with an urgency. But what we are talking about is putting some things off of our lives, I guess you could say. Putting some things away, putting some things out, getting rid of some things. Romans 13:12, the scripture that was read in your hearing a moment ago. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And here Paul uses the term cast off instead of put off, but it's the same idea. There are some things we need to get rid of. In Hebrews 12, in verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, seeing therefore that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and those sins which so easily entangles or ensnares us. We need to put aside some things. We need to get some things off. We, a lot of times, even in our Christian lives, even though we have been converted, even though we have changed, we've been transformed, but sometimes we still carry with us the baggage of that past life. And we need to put those things off. We need to put off the things mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20-24. Paul there writes, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So here we have three things then in Ephesians 4, 20-24 that we are to put off. We need to put off the former conversation. That's in other words, the former way of life. As Christians, we don't need to still be going to the same places we used to go. We don't need to be watching the same things on TV or listening to the same music or reading the same books. We don't need to be hanging out many times with the same people that we spent time with before. Now, we know that we want to reach out to those people, and we want to bring the gospel to them, or at least we should want those things. But we have to be cautious how we spend our time with those people that we used to associate with. It's very easy to become entangled again in that old lifestyle, in that former conversation. And then he says that he put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Not only do we not go the same places and spend time with the same people that do the same, we're not the same person we used to be. We cannot continue to be what we were before. There are those who used to be a lot of things before they became a Christian. See, the key is used to be. When we try to continue to be, then we have problems. We cannot remain the same. We cannot continue to be what we once were. Paul told the Corinthians just as much. He talks about being fornicators, being idolaters, being covetous, and being even murderers, and all sorts of things that he lists in his list of those people. And he says, and such were some of you. Some of the people who were Christians in Corinth used to be adulterers and idolaters, fornicators. They used to be some of those kinds of things. Let's read some of the things they used to be. Chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Verse number 9, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. He even refers to homosexuality here. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall enter the kingdom of God. So we cannot be those things and enter God's kingdom. Notice then what he says in verse 11. He says, as such were some of you. But ye are washed, and we wash those sins away. But you are sanctified. We've been set apart from those things. This is what the word sanctify means. We've been set apart for God's use. We can't continue to be those things anymore. We can't continue to do those things anymore. You realize that some of these people in the church in Corinth used to be homosexuals. They used to be drunkards. They used to be idolaters. They used to worship idols. False God. They used to be fornicators. Perhaps some of them had even been prostitutes. Certainly possible some of the people who followed Jesus had been prostitutes. But he says, not anymore. He said, you were that way, but you've been washed, and now you are sanctified. You're set apart for God's use. And God's use does not include those things. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, he says, and by the Spirit of our God. We are justified not if we continue in those things. Notice he said they were that way. If we continue in those things, then we're just as lost as we ever were. We have to put those things off. We have to get rid of them. We have to be sanctified. We have to be set apart for God's use. We have to put off the old man, whatever that old man was. It's interesting that in this passage, as he talks about the effeminate, the abusers of themselves with mankind, this would include sadists, masochists, and homosexuality of different kinds. And yet these people were able to change. This lets us know that this is not something genetic that cannot be changed, like the color of our skin. These sinful activities can be corrected. We can stop doing whatever those sinful activities are. Whether it's drunkenness, oh yes, we may be addicted to drugs or alcohol of some kind. But those addictions can be broken, and they have been by many people. We can overcome that. You see, God never names something a sin that is something that is inherent in our makeup. He never names something a sin that is something that we cannot cease. He never names something a sin, but it's something that we cannot change and cannot help. And it would not and does not do that. He only names those things as sins that are things that are within our control. We have a choice as to whether we do any of those things listed or not. So we put off the old man, or the old woman, for those of you women out there, but we understand what he means when he says the old man, that old person that we used to be. And then he talks about that old man, he says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And so we've got to put off those deceitful lusts. And that's probably one of the hardest things, because that's the temptation. We've got to force ourselves to overcome the temptation. Now we know it's not a sin to be tempted, but our own desires and lusts can become sin. Notice what he says about them though. They're not just any desires, not just any lusts. They are deceitful. Well, how are they deceitful? Well, for those of you who have given in to those lusts, you know how deceitful they are. Because that lust, whether it be a desire for for some sexual activity, whether it be a desire for drugs or alcohol, whether it be a desire to steal or to engage in some other illegal or illicit activity, whatever the case may be, the deceit comes in the fact that with that lust, there's the promise of fulfillment. There's the promise or the indication that if I do this, it's going to feel better. It's going to feel good. I'm going to be okay if I can just do this one thing one more time. You see, that's where the deceitfulness comes in. Because when we wake up the next morning with the hangover, or when the high of the drug is gone, when the sexual experience is over and we realize what we get engaged in, when we lie to our friend and then realize how much we've hurt them, whatever the sinfulness is, when the reality of it comes to bear on us and we begin to feel the guilt and we begin to feel the pain that is caused by it, then we're reminded just how deceitful those lusts really are. They are not fulfilling. We don't feel better afterwards. We usually feel worse. You see, Moses understood this. It says by faith in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Moses, when he was of age, he put off the kingdom. He was a prince in Egypt. But he said he put that away. He got rid of that. He didn't consider that. He said it was better to suffer the reproach. It was better to suffer with his own people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, that's the deceitfulness of the lust. It tells us that the pleasure, that the enjoyment is going to continue. But it doesn't. It's just short-lived. It's only for the moment. And then it's gone. And then we have to seek something else to replace the emptiness. But you see, in Christ, it's better. Because in Christ, the fulfillment is an eternal fulfillment. We no longer have to be looking from one high to the next, from one experience to the next, from one adrenaline rush to the next, because we have a satisfaction in knowing that we have God in our lives, that we are in Christ, and that we are on our way to heaven. We need to remember that the next time we're tempted. We will be tempted. And we will have those deceitful lusts and those deceitful desires. But when they pop up, we need to remind ourselves, remember the last time. Remember the last time. Remember how bad I felt afterwards. You see, the problem we have is sometimes we're so short-sighted that we think only of the immediate pleasure that the sin will bring, instead of looking beyond that to the eternal consequences and the suffering and pain that will come after that initial pleasure. We have to look beyond that. Then secondly, we need to put off the things mentioned in Colossians 3, 5 through 11. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 5, Paul says, mortify, or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. So he talks about uncleanness, greed, covetousness, evil desires, wrong affections, inordinate affections, things that are wrong and yet that we want anyway. Of course, adulterous relationships and all sorts of things of that nature would fit into that category. He says, you used to walk in those things when you lived in them. Then in verse 8 he says, but now ye also put off all these. And here's some more things we need to put off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Notice then, let's look at some of these things that he tells us to put off. Anger. Do we still have a problem with anger? Well, probably a lot of us do. Well, Paul says we need to put that off. We need to get rid of that. Now, we know that that it is possible to be angry and sin not, James tells us. But we need to get rid of that anger out of our lives. Anger, yes, does sometimes harm other people. But all the time, anger harms the one who is angry. Anger leads to bitterness. Bitterness leads to all sorts of health problems, both physical and spiritual. And it all starts with that anger that is unresolved. You need to put off anger. And wrath. But not a whole lot of difference between anger and wrath. Some would say that anger is the outburst when you first become angry. You get mad. But wrath is that which remains, the lingering hatred and the lingering desire to do harm and to do hurt to others. And then we see malice. Malice, of course, is very similar to hatred. A desire to do harm to others, to want to hurt. See, as Christians, these kinds of desires, to be angry and want to hurt others, those are things that we shouldn't have in our lives. See, because as Christians, we are supposed to love and want to help others. We're supposed to want what's best for them. And then he says, blasphemy. Speaking evil of God, speaking evil of Christ and His church, of other Christians, of the Word of God. Oh, well, certainly we understand that a Christian should never be guilty of speaking evil against God or against His Word or against Christ. And yet, sometimes, not only with our mouths, but by our actions, we blaspheme the name of God. Sometimes, in fact, we do it with our mouths as well. We must control that tongue. And then, as he continues on the same thought of controlling the tongue, he mentions filthy communication. There are certain things that should never come out of a Christian's mouth. Things that are filthy. Things that are unclean. Unwholesome. Things that are evil. Whether it be a dirty joke, whether it be cursing another, swearing, simply using foul language as often terms. These are things we should be hearing. We should be growing beyond that. We should be putting those things off. While I was at the Future Preachers camp, one of the boys there had a problem with using God's name in vain. And I talked to him about it the first night we were there. By the end of camp, he had already gotten much better at being able to put that off, being able to not continue in that behavior and that activity. Well, how is that? Because he was constantly calling his attention to it. You see, if we just say, well, you know, if I think about it, I won't do that anymore. Well, we won't think about it, we'll continue doing it. In order to correct a sin in our lives, in order to correct, and especially, a sin of the tongue, so many times our habits are such that those things spew out before we even think about it. But that's the key. We have to learn to think before we speak. We have to bridle our tongue. We have to control the thoughts before they get to the mouth. Before they can come out. And we need to keep it not just in our subconscious mind that we ought not do these things, but in our conscious mind. You know, we talk sometimes about, well, I'll keep that in the back of my mind. No, not these things. When we're trying to defeat sin, we can't keep it in the back of our mind. We have to keep it right there in the front of our mind. We have to keep our mind on it constantly, because it takes moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day attention to get rid of these things out of our lives. These things did not slip into our lives in a moment, and they won't slip out in a moment. They are going to have to be controlled and purged from the system. You know how much trouble we've had in our county, or I figure you probably do, it was a big deal for a long time. You know how much trouble we've had in our county with our water system, the city water at least, where there were some impurities in there, some sort of little bacteria or germ or whatever it was, really sure exactly what it was in there. But the city and the county system, they spent time and money trying to get rid of that. They flushed the system out to try to clean it out. But then it would be there again. And finally, hopefully, we've gotten the problem solved with these big, huge filters, the systems that they bought to filter that water to get that particular contaminant out of the water. But do you think that it would have just gone away if nobody had paid any attention to it? No, you see, the way that it got in there in the first place was that nobody was paying attention to it. You see, that's the way that sin gets into our lives. When we're not paying attention to it, it slips in unnoticed. But in order to get it out, we've got to pay attention. We've got to work at it, because it won't go away on its own. Sin doesn't work that way. We've got to put it off. It's not going to jump ship. It's going to stay. And remember that sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. So if we want to avoid death, we're going to have to put our attention into getting rid of these things out of our lives. He goes on, still continuing with the idea of the tongue in verse 9. He says, lie not to one to another. We need to put off lying. Lying. How quickly and how easily the lies slip from our lips sometimes. How quickly and how easily we flatter someone by telling them things that we know are not true. Things that we don't believe ourselves, and know that if they're in their right mind, they won't believe either, but we'll say them to them anyway. How quickly and how easily we'll blame someone else for our own problem and say, oh, it wasn't my fault, it was so-and-so, when we know good and well that's not true. How quickly, how easily we'll make an excuse. Well, I was late because I had car trouble. And what that means was, well, I tried to crank it the first time and it didn't crank. I had to crank it a second time before the car started. That's not car trouble. And we know good and well it's a lie. Oh, tell them I'm not here. It's a lie. You're here. How easily those lies slip. Again, it takes constant attention to those things to overcome that. Oh, now, no, maybe we wouldn't lie about somebody who was on trial for a crime and say we saw them commit it and it's going to bring in a death sentence to them. Oh, maybe, we wouldn't do that. No, not a big lie like that, but we'll tell the little lie. What difference does it make? Oh, well, that person would lose their life. Who knows but what somebody might believe some of the lies we tell and lose their life as a result of it. Or worse yet, they might believe some of the lies we tell and they might lose their soul as a result of it. Lies are dangerous. Lies come from Satan. He is the father of it. And when we lie, we are showing ourselves to be his children and not God's children, because God is a God of truth. If we are his children, we must tell the truth. We've got to put these things off. And the old man with his deed. He covers it all right there, doesn't he? Everything that we used to be, we must put off. Now, if we put off all those things, where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us pretty empty, doesn't it? We've got to put on some things. He says here that we need to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. One of the reasons that we continue to fall back into those old life patterns is because we're not establishing any new life patterns. We've got to put on a new man. We've got to become something different. We've got to do something better, or else we will go right back to those same old things. The new man. Man of knowledge. Where do we get that knowledge? From God's Word. And yet, we refuse to study God's Word. If we refuse to study God's Word, we're never going to get any further along than we are right now. We're never going to grow if we don't study God's Word. And coming to church and hearing a sermon for 30 minutes is not studying God's Word. Statement in the bulletin. We are not faithful Christians because we come to the assemblies of the church. But we come to the assemblies of the church because we are faithful Christians. We are not coming here as our only source of spiritual nourishment. This is just a little family gathering, a family get-together, family reunion that we have occasionally. Imagine, if you will, if the only time that you ate was when there was a family reunion. For some of us, that might be a good thing for a couple of years, to only eat at family reunions and not eat the rest of the year. But imagine, we know that wouldn't work. We have to eat every day in order to survive. Certain amount, at least. Some of us eat more than we need to survive, but we must eat some every day in order to survive, or at least on a regular basis. We can get by a day or two perhaps without eating, but we must eat on a regular basis. If we come once a week to get spiritual nourishment and that's it, well, the new man will starve to death, and that old man that we're feeding the other 6 days out of the week will become strong again. In conclusion, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Peter says, "Yea, I think it is meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle," he's talking about in the physical body when he says this tabernacle, "to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." He lets us know there is one more thing that God's people will put off. He will eventually put off this body. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, when I put off this body, where will I stand with God? Where will I be? Peter wanted to stir us up and put us in remembrance so that after his defeat, after he had left this body, this tabernacle, as he called it, that we would still have these things in remembrance. We need to keep these things in remembrance. All of the things, not only that Peter wrote, but the things that the other New Testament writers wrote as well. And as we look at these things that we need to put off, the former conversation, the old man, the deceitful lust, the anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, lying, and the old man with his deeds. Once we put these things off, we should never put them on again. See, there are some things that need to be put off indefinitely. They need to be put off forever. Now we know if we're sick and we put it off forever, it could kill us. We know if we've got a cavity and we put it off forever, we're going to eventually have to have that tooth pulled, and it's going to cause us a great deal of pain. If we put off going to get those car tags renewed forever, we're probably going to get a ticket. There are some things that we cannot put off forever, but there are other things that we must put off and put them off forever. Just put it off for today. Tomorrow, you can start those things again as soon as there is a day that's called tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes. But put off lying for today. Put off wrath and anger. Put off blasphemy. Put off filthy communication. Just put them off for today. And then when you awake in the morning after a good night's sleep, just put them off today. put them off every day. Just wake up of a morning and say, today, I'm going to put these things off and I'm not going to put them on again. You know, there are many things that we put off. We wear our clothes for a day and then we put them off. And we put them to be washed. But after they're washed, we put them back on again. But we don't continue to put them back on if they haven't been washed. We want those things washed before we put them on again. We want them to be clean. How foolish it would be for us to day after day continue to put off the dirty clothes at the end of the day and then the next morning put them back on. What's worse would be even to put them off and to bathe ourselves and wash and to be clean and then put them back on again. Day after day after day. We have been washed. We've been cleaned. We've been sanctified. And we don't need to put those dirty garments back on again. It's ridiculous. And some clothes that we stain so badly in one way or another, or they become so filthy or so bad of repair that we eventually just throw them out and leave them off forever. We never wear them again. We throw them in the rag pile or we throw them in the trash. We get rid of them. That's the way it is with these things of the old man. We need to put them off and throw them off and throw them away and be rid of them forever. If you're here today, if you're a Christian and you haven't been putting these things off, oh, now we understand that you don't just put everything off just like that. It takes work. But sometimes I'm afraid we're not working at it. We're not even trying to put these things off. We enjoy keeping a little bit of them, those things in our mind and in our life. You've got to put them off. You've got to work more diligently. If you're here and you haven't even responded to the invitation, either in initial obedience, perhaps you still are your old man. You've never put off the old man at all. You've never put on the new man. You've never been baptized to wash your sins away. Then what Paul said to the Corinthian Christians doesn't apply to you. You're not washed. You're not sanctified. You're not justified. You need to be today. If you're here and you are a Christian, but you haven't put off these things, you need to start today. If you need the prayers of the church and the encouragement of the church to help you do that, whatever your need, man, you respond as we stand here.